Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
Right, so I'm going to start because we had a very long story. And you know what? I want you to know that the reason why we tell the stories is so that you have not got a misconception about people's lives. You know, we're just ordinary people with the foolish things of this world. The Bible says that God has taken hold of and he confounds the wise by the foolish things of this world. That's us, amen. And, you know, he gives us heaven's culture and we can do amazing things on the earth, amen. We, you know, we must allow the truth of God's word to hit our hearts tonight. Don't let it just come over here, you know. Let it hit your heart for who you are personally. And I just want to start by saying that you are welcome here. You know, you may be an outsider in your mind. You came here, there were first-time visitors. You may say, you know what, I'm actually an outsider. I don't belong to this group. Well, I want to tell you, you belong. You belong. You're welcome. You know, there's a story in the book of Ruth where God shows the importance of embracing people who feel like they are outsiders. And Ruth came right into, you know, the people of Israel. You know, and she's like a great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just so amazing. And so I want you to look at your neighbor tonight and say, you belong here. You belong here. And then look at her again and say, I belong here. I belong here. You know, when we were worshiping, before we sang, what a wonderful name, you know, the name of Jesus, it says nothing should separate us. But before that came on, I just thought of how God brings people together. You know, there's no Jew, nor Greek, nor male, nor female, no slave, no free, for we are all one in Christ. And then as I was worshiping, I was reminded again of that verse in Galatians. And you know what also struck me is when it comes to marriage, we know that the Bible says what God has joined together, let no one separate. Well, I want to say God has joined you and I together. Amen? Let no one separate what God has joined together. We are family. We are united. We have kingdom purpose. There's stuff for us to be doing. You know what? We are a beautiful diamond in this nation that the world is watching, and we've got to shine brightly. Amen? So what God has joined together, no one should be separating. So my first quote tonight has been quoted twice already. Jonathan Swift, vision is seeing what is invisible to others. It's the art of seeing what is invisible to others. And I just also want to talk about Leonardo da Vinci, an amazing man, an artist, a genius, you know, a techno buff if he was alive today. He said, once you have tasted flight, you will forever walk the earth with your eyes turned skyward, for there you have been and there you will always long to return. The thing, though, is that Leonardo da Vinci actually never flew. He dreamt of flying, but he never actually got into a plane. That did not exist. He had a dream for something to exist. He saw something. And it came to pass later on in our lifetime. We are enjoying that now. And for him, you know, seeing wasn't believing. If I see it, then I will believe it. No, for him, believing was seeing, right? So I have tonight's title that says, Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the Invisible. You know, God wants us to have eyes that can see the invisible. I will expound a little bit on it, and I will encourage us. And my first thought this evening is how to see the invisible God. Who knows that in order to see the invisible, we have to start with the invisible God? You know, people ask you questions like, how can you believe in something you can't see? Well, I will explain that to you in a moment. I just know that I don't personally have to see God physically, hear him speak to me audibly. I just need to believe that he exists, that he is there, amen? And that he's a rewarder if I diligently seek him. you know, what makes me different? What makes me different from people who can't see it? I will expound on that in a moment as well. So I have the belief that we as believers have the ability to see what is invisible to others. We have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is good. Psalm 24 verse 8 is wrong in your notes. I just realized that. That was a typo. 34 verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And we have learned as believers to fix our eyes on things that are above, not things that are on the earth. We live on the earth, we have to fix our eyes on our cars, the road, our children, our homes. Those are things God has blessed us with, but it doesn't consume us as much as He does. Amen? And the fact that we are heaven bound with Him. So we have tasted and we know that He is good. Just a subtitle there. Believers choose to see the unseen God through the eyes of faith. That's what set us apart. We've made a choice. Tonight at the end of the service, you have a choice with the invitation to choose Jesus. So many of us have done that. Some struggle, but we still love you and we root for you and we just try our best to help you see that which is invisible. Amen? The invisible God. Right, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 is a very fascinating piece of scripture. It says that He has planted eternity in the human heart. Do you know what comes to my jet lag mind when I think about it? Is that when God says He has planted eternity in the heart of man, that means He's taken a little something of Himself and He's put it there before we even know Him. He's taken a little bit of heaven and He's put it there. I remember as a child not being in a home, you know, I wasn't brought up in a home where there were Christians who loved God. There was blasphemy. There was all kinds of wrong things that happens in a life and in a home that does not serve Jesus. But because I went to Sunday school, something was planted in me. A seed was planted. But even before that, there was heaven in my heart. There was eternity in my heart. There was a bit of God in my heart. And you know what? We have a choice to do something with it or to reject it and ignore it. That is the difference between those who believe and those who don't believe. We have a bit of heaven in us already. Isn't that fantastic? Amen? Because His stamp is on us. We are made in His image. So God has put the unseen in the hearts of men, you know, because He has created us and He's not seen by the naked eye. He's put that something in us that helps us to see what is not seen by ordinary men and women. Okay, I wrote in my book, Small Beginnings, about a friend that I really struggled with for years. She went to school with me. We were best friends. Her name is Yolanda. Today I don't actually know where she is, but I remember as a new believer, and I've been saved for over 40 years, so that's a long time ago. We were quite thin in those days and, you know, really beautiful like the young girls of this church. I'm going off the point, right? But I tried to lead her to the Lord. Excuse me. She kept saying to me, I can't see it. But I can't see it. And I said to her, you don't have to see it. And then she said, I admire your faith. You know, that's flattery when people tell you that. Don't let people tell you that. Don't let people say, oh, I wish I could be like you. You know, I admire your faith. You know what? That puts us on a pedestal. When we're not on a pedestal. We are just childlike in our belief. And we are willing to take that piece of heaven that has been placed in us, that piece of eternity of God in us. And we've made a choice. And I remember just saying to her, you know what? I'm nothing special, Yolanda. You know me. You know who I am. You know my brothers. You know all kinds of things about me. I just came to that point in time when I said, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. I wish I had your faith. I could have slapped her. Years later, this was in Cape Town. You know when you love a friend enough to say that, but you would never ever do it? Years later, that was in Cape Town, in this church, in the little building, she came through the doors one day And she sought me out to tell me that she had received Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And of course, I remember the struggle to try and get her to see the invisible God, amen, with the eyes of faith and the eyes of her heart. You know what can happen with that little bit of heaven in us, that little bit of God in us, if we don't allow the truth to enter our hearts, if we don't make Jesus the Lord of our lives, that little bit of truth will only create a spiritual person. Have you met people who say, I'm not a Christian, but I'm spiritual? Have you met people like that? We are all spiritual because of what has been placed in us, that little something that we're not even always aware of, right? But we don't just want to be spiritual, because that makes us have to do all the work. And we can't do this. Amen? We want Him to come in, the unseen God, sit on the throne of our hearts, be our Lord and Savior, take His hand and let Him lead us and serve Him wholeheartedly and grow. Amen? And flourish and not be all over the place. A little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this religion, that religion. You know what? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen? And people will say about Christians, wow, you're dogmatic, hey? You're hectic. Well, those are not our words. I just believe in the one. I've chosen Jesus. And those are His words. And He says that because He wants us to have clarity about this unseen God whom we serve and we devote our lives to, right? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 says, but the man who isn't a Christian can't understand and accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in. And I want to say that doesn't make us any more special. To God, everyone is special. Amen? The ground at the cross is level. We know that, don't we? And it's by the grace of God, and He helps us in our ability to see the unseen. And, you know, we can pray. We can say, Lord, help me. You know, one of the disciples said, Lord, help my unbelief. Part of your unbelief is that what you can't see, right? Because faith is part of seeing. We see through the eyes of our heart, through faith. Amen. Secondly, and I hope I've laid a little foundation that it begins with Jesus. It begins with our faith, seeing the unseen, right? Number two, when God does the unseen, what happens when God does the unseen? You know, we can't always see what God is doing. We go through difficulties, even Natasha's story tonight. God was working behind the scenes. We find ourselves in hard places, dry places, desert places. The heavens feel like brass. We pray and it feels like the prayers are just bouncing back at us. And we like wonder, Lord, what is going on? But you know what? God is there. And as Whitney was saying, God hears your particular cry for your particular need. He says, never will I leave you. Never, never will I forsake you. His promises are yes and amen. He doesn't make a promise that He can't keep, right? And so He is there. And, you know, look at the story in 2 Kings where Elisha, who was also quoted tonight, was the prophet in Israel. And there was this king, it was an enemy king, Aram, from Aramea, the Arameans tribe, was coming against Israel. And you know what? The servant of Elisha saw the whole army, the chariots on their horses, and he got afraid, and he was like, oh, wow, Elisha, look, there's so many of their armies out there, and we are outnumbered. We are going to die. We're in a bad place. Where's God? And he said to the Lord, Lord, open the eyes of this man. Read it here. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning, just cutting down the story a little bit for you, and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. You know, that should not just be for then, that should be for now. That should be for tonight. That should be, Lord, open the eyes of people who think when they've got their backs against the wall and they are completely outnumbered that you are not there. But you know what? The Lord is there. And he's not only there with chariots, horsemen. He's there with fire. Amen. He's there with fire. The unseen God is there. And no matter how the enemy may come against you, God is with you. He is there. And we don't. None of the things that we go through in life make sense until later when God shows us, oh, you know what? He was building something in us. He was strengthening in our faith. He was allowing time to go by and pass us by so that a better opportunity can come our way. Are you hearing me tonight, ladies? And then number three, ask God to help us see the invisible in others. This is actually my favorite point here tonight. And I really wish that I had a lot of time to spend on this with you. But I believe that we look at people in a way that doesn't often please God. I say that about myself. We're very quick to look on the outward, but we don't look on the inward. And that's an area I believe I need to grow in. Even at my age, and to the young girls out there, start now exercising that muscle in you, right? I believe that, you know, we judge people by the way they dress, about the way they speak, what their accent is like. But you know what? There's gold around us. There's gold around us. Recently, God gave me a hiding in America. We went to 5 different churches. And it was a great, great privilege. But at one of the churches, I met a lady. Now, please forgive me. I don't know if maybe you're a better Christian than me. Can I just take a sip? But dry. This woman was dripping with diamonds at church. So the first thing I thought... And I do, I love diamonds. I mean, I love Jesus more than diamonds, but I like diamonds. The first thing I thought when I was talking to her, she's a lovely, lovely woman, really lovely. As I looked at her, I thought, diamonds in the ears, diamonds around the neck, diamonds in the pendant, not just the diamond, yeah, diamonds, 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 diamonds. And God forgive me, you know, because he has forgiven me because I asked him to forgive me. But, you know, my first thought was, is this what she spends all her money on? Is this what consumes her shopping list? But, you know, we're nice and yes, yes, and we chat. Amen. And then her husband comes along. And this is the thing. When you see a woman with diamonds and she's married, look at the husband. Because he worshipped the ground that she walked on. And all she was doing was enjoying how much he loved her. And then I discovered, yeah, I'm thinking she spends all her money on diamonds. That's judging her, right? Sorry, Lord. But I discovered from the pastor said they were the biggest givers in that church. How wrong can a person be? 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, when Samuel was to go and choose the next king of Israel. And he went to Jesse's house, if you remember the story, and there were so many sons, and you know, every time he got to a son, he thought, surely this is the son. Look how gorgeous he is. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he looks like a warrior. And God kept on saying, no, no, no. And then finally, in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, that's what we do. We don't see the gold. We need to look for the gold in people. That's the unseen in people. Then I met another lady on another part of America, on the other side, and I was doing this thing once again. I haven't learned my lesson from the first hiding. And I met this lady, and she just wore a lot of makeup. But not like you, Natasha, beautifully on the screen and all nice and all fluffed and, you know, with a brush. It was like hectic, heavy makeup. But I didn't judge her like now she's a tart or anything. Not like that. I just felt that sort of, that's the thing that could, in my mind, like that's like if she was my friend, well, like we are her friends to help her. But you know what? Again, once, you know, you look past that, once you start going into the soul and the spirit of a person, and then once she started speaking about her life, I discovered that her and her husband had been missionaries in Africa for years. They had their children in Africa, and then they moved back to America and started a business, and that they too are some of the best givers within their house. And you know what? That makeup meant nothing. Like, Lord, how shallow am I? What's wrong with me? Then came Sunday morning, and she was in the worship team, and she was like an angel. You know, so anointed, so beautiful. And I share this. I don't have to share this with you. You don't share your dirty thoughts with me. But I feel that that's just being transparent and honest. I'm not a better person. We all have these thoughts and struggles. And we get it so, so wrong. And God wants to teach us, you know what? Look for the invisible in people. Tonight we saw the invisible in Natasha, her pain, her hurt. Thank you for trusting us with your hurt and with your truth. And you know, maybe, you know, by standards of making DVDs within our church, you know, you could see she was grinding through her sentences, and we let her, because that's what it felt like for her to open her heart wide to us. Amen? Open eyes, that's what we had tonight, to a situation, and her open heart to share what was happening and what had happened in her world. And I think you need to give her another hand tonight. What about people you know? What do you think about them, or people you think you know? Do you know their story? What is your story? What have you been through? What are you hiding? Because you know what we do is we live in this world with Instagram and perfection, and you know, Pastor Andre and Vilma have a perfect marriage, and everyone wants a marriage. They've been married for 44 years now on Valentine's Day. But can I just tell you, there sits my daughter. We've just been away for 3 weeks, and it wasn't all moonshine and roses. When you are jet-lagged and you're irritable and you're not perfect, amen? Like at the airport, should I tell that story? We're supposed to go to gate 56. So we come up the escalator, and my eyes are wide open because that's the theme of this year. And I'm looking gate 56 to the left, and Paps is walking to the right. And I'm like, I can go with him, but you know what? I'm exhausted. And we've got to now go that way and then see, and then the whole queue will fill up with other people, and you know what that's like. That's what I wanted to tell you. You know how we drive, eh? That's how we behave at the airport. When the plane is 5 hours late and they say, first class and club members, will you now line up at priority? And everyone goes, like right at the back, J66, to the front of the queue. Anyway, so what I did last night, I said, Babs, 56. Now, if anyone from Rivers was there, please, will you just forgive me for that moment? I think our stories exist to show the goodness and the grace of God, right? Amen? That we have to grow. Yes, we've got to grow. We've got to grow in the area of seeing the invisible, right? With the eyes of faith and with the eyes of our heart. We've got to grow in the way we see and relate to our God in heaven. We've got to grow in the way that we receive His discipline and what He's teaching us and what we're going through. We've got to learn that, you know, the heavenly hosts are more than this planet. Whoever can come against us. And then we've got to learn to see the invisible in other people. We think we know people. We think we know their ability. But throw them in the deep end and you'll discover. I mean, I think of Kogi tonight, who came on board at Rivers, very new from the Hindu faith. And I always teased her. She was only saved for 4 years and she came onto Rivers staff. Well, hallelujah, as they say in America. I think that's a victory. But then she came in at first to help with conferences and to be a volunteer. And then we discovered that, you know, she had worked in a bank. Do you mind me sharing, Kogi? Look at the time. And that she had then had access to people's skills and she had learned and, you know, knew how to deal with difficult situations. And then we started her at reception, answering the phone. Rivers Church, this is Kogi speaking. How may I help you? And from there on, she became our PA. And today, although she doesn't want to admit it, she is the executive pastor of Rivers Church alongside a team of others who do things. But you know what? Maybe you would have thought to yourself in the natural, oh, well, you know, she was a Hindu the other day. She was still rubbing the lamp as she was telling me. And I only know about the lamp because Kogi taught me about that lamp. But give her, you all know we had a very hot, difficult year last year with Pastor Andre being accused of something in the area of our strength as a church. Remember that? And how Kogi rose and was trained and helped to just navigate and help with the whole team. And I say that. I know I'm singling her out, but I say that about each and every one of you. Do you know that invisible in you? Do you know what is on the inside of you? Do you know who is on the inside of you? Do you know what you can achieve if you're thrown in the deep end? Amen? Would you look to the unseen God and say to yourself, because I believe in the God who's not seen, surely I should see something inside of me that's not seen, right? My potential. You know, you can clap. I shared a few years ago, it's probably 2.5 decades ago, I don't know, from Job 28, and I've got it in your notes because God spoke to me so personally about the fact that miners go underground. And you know, South Africa is known for our mining and the fact that we go underground. You know, gold is beautiful, diamonds are beautiful, but they're not seen. It's a journey under the earth to mine and unearth what is unseen with a naked eye. But we've got to allow God to unearth and mine our potential, and we must cooperate with Him. Amen? We must cooperate with Him. What I mean by that is, don't, when someone at work comes to you or in whatever capacity and says, I see something in you, and I think I can put you in this department. I think for 3 months, I'm going to put you to the test, and I'm going to see. Don't come with, oh, no, 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 not me. You, who, me? Don't be like that. Remember who you are and whose you are. Look for the unseen in yourself, right? Look for the gold in yourself. Mine your potential, and you will do the same for other people, right? When you can see what God has done, that's why I believe Kogi, as an example tonight, has what she has, because she saw and discovered there was gold on the inside of her for the things of God that she never even would have dreamed of, because I know we've spoken. But now she can also see the gold in others. Amen. So the unseen, ask God to help all of us to see the invisible in other people. Not to get all like, and what, how many times has she been married? And, oh, is she going out with a married man now? None of that. That's not who we are. It doesn't matter if you have done that, by the way. I seriously say that it doesn't matter if you've done that, by the way, because his mercies are new tomorrow. Amen? Jesus, as we come to a close, saw the potential in people, his disciples. Peter, foot in your mouth. Simon Peter, foot in mouth, spoke out of turn, said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing, you know, did all kinds of things. But Jesus said to him, on this rock, Peter, I will build my church. The foolish things of this world, amen? Look at Saul, who became Paul, right? Killing, this is Paul. I'm on my way to kill all the Christians at Rivers Church tonight. And on his way, there comes a light and he falls off his high horse, and the next thing, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. How does that work? A murderer. He actually successfully murdered Christians. And the next thing, his life turned around. Why? Because God saw the invisible that people around him could not see, right? And that's how life is. That's how it works in the Christian world. Just three examples. You've heard them before. Mary Magdalene. Do you know that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her? Do you know anyone like that? 7 demons cast out of Mary Magdalene. Jesus placed value on her. She was a follower. He didn't say, since you're a woman and since you had 7 demons in you, you can follow me, but you got to walk behind the pack. None of that. You know what honor Jesus bestowed on her? She was the first at the tomb. She was the first to speak to the risen king. And she was the first to touch him and to see him. Isn't that amazing? Because he saw the gold in her. He saw her potential, right? What an honor. Secondly, the woman at the well. He gave her time of day. She had been that woman that had 5 husbands. And the one she was with then, she wasn't even married to. But he didn't say, don't speak to me, you're a Gentile, and I want nothing to do with you. He took time. He asked her for a favor. Will you get me some water? That's like, wow, I can play a part and do something for this man who turns out to be the Messiah, amen, the Savior of the world. What did Jesus do? He saw the invisible in her. He spoke to her potential, and she goes running into her town, and she leads all those people to Jesus. What an honor, amen? Would you like an evangelist like that in your church? I would, totally. The woman at the well. Just because we cannot see God physically doesn't mean he's not real. The same with us. Just because we cannot see our potential doesn't mean it's not there. Right. Job 28, I've already quoted you. And then the last one, the woman with the issue. The woman with the issue of blood. Don't come into the city, you're an outsider. You don't belong here, right? You have got an issue, you are unclean, you're not allowed to be around other people. What does Jesus do? He's actually on his way to another appointment to heal Jairus' daughter. But he doesn't stop her and say, excuse me, Come on. There's someone else who's first in line. Wait your turn. No, he just immediately stops. He gives her time of day. He heals her, but he doesn't only heal her physically. He heals her body, soul, and spirit. Amen? And I want to just say tonight, let's be the woman, girls, who sees the invisible side of others with the help of God. Give women the benefit of the doubt. If someone comes, and we've had women like that, Kogi will tell you, who come and stand very close to Pastor Andre, very close. And our girls have seen that, but I have been completely at peace with it because I know that Jesus is at work. Amen? And I'm looking for the gold. I'm looking for the gold, and I've seen the gold. I've seen the gold. Does that sound funny? It's true. Okay. As we come to the altar call this evening, altar call for those who are visiting is a wonderful opportunity in church. It's an opportunity for us to still ourselves and to say, for those who know Jesus, I remember the time when this came to me, this opportunity. And we had an opportunity to close our eyes and to bow our heads and to allow people to open their hearts to receive Jesus. The best and biggest decision we will ever make on this side of eternity. And so we have an altar call now. And in view of what I've been speaking about tonight, many years ago, Pastor Andre shared about a violinist in America called Joshua Bell. He is very well known, and his concerts will fetch, his cheapest seats in the concerts will fetch 2,000 rand in our currency and more. Those are the cheapest seats, and they call them the nosebleed seats. So they're right at the back, right at the top of a building. So once upon a time, there was this experiment, and I can't remember the full details of it, but it really served my message tonight and what I'm trying to say to you. What they did was they took Joshua Bell and they put a baseball cap on him, put a t-shirt on him, and said, you can go to the subway with your very expensive Stradivarius violin, and you can play for the passers-by. And you know what? Because he was standing there in ordinary clothes, no one recognized him. There were a handful of people at the end of the day and said, that looks like Joshua Bell. Do you know who's Joshua Bell? Well, only a handful recognized him and discovered that was Joshua Bell. They probably thought in their minds, shame, poor man, what's he doing in the subway? He's so famous. He must really have hit the low here. And then he also only collected less than about $100, whereas with his concerts, they make hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, it's the same with Jesus, you know. If Joshua had put his tuxedo on, and he had a nice brass band and his beautiful stand in front of him with the music, people would have immediately recognized him. And if they didn't know him, others would have told them. Jesus came in ordinary clothes when he came to the earth. He came in the form of a baby. He didn't come with lightning and lights flashing and the earth shaking. None of that. And that is why he wasn't recognized. That is why he was rejected. But once he paid the price, once he died on the cross, and once he was resurrection, once there was a resurrection, that was when his face shone. Amen? And he could walk through walls and he could appear, right? And even though before that he was an ordinary man, he performed miracles. Some still doubted him. I don't know if you've noticed, I've got a minute. Have you noticed when you read the Word of God, and I trust you are reading and you're learning and you're in the one-year Bible if you're struggling to keep going? Have you noticed that when it came to proof and signs, Jesus wasn't into that? He wasn't very excited about doing wow things. You know why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what God loves about us is when we believe in Him, even if we have not even seen Him. So if you think of a modern day context, this is kind of like Jesus, right? With Joshua Bell, he comes, he's a famous man, he's very gifted, but he comes in ordinary clothes and people just walk right past him. Tonight, Jesus presents himself to you. Maybe you've seen him in ordinary clothes, but I want to present him to you as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the glorified Son of God who has paid the ultimate price, who will return and who wants you to be his bride. He wants you to serve him. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be part of your everyday life. He wants to be part of your cries, your highs, your lows. He wants to be part of your family. He wants you to say to yourself tonight, maybe he's unseen, but that peace of heaven and that peace of God in me, I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to make a choice tonight because he has put heaven in my heart.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.